losers.
I'm going to start part three here. Real quick, a note. I talked to these guys for obviously a long time as we're getting into part three. I also talked to them for a long time off mic. I can't remember if Trevor told the story about this next thing I'm going to play in the interview or not. The quick version is, and I tell you what, you can ask him someday if you want the extended version, you know, on your own, because he's a pretty open dude. Of course, he doesn't seem to have any time. But anyway, he was told by Mike, I believe, that Kevin at K-Rock and maybe also Gene was going to call him the next day and talk to him about the job and officially say, hey, you're getting the job. Let's do this. Well, he didn't even go into work that next day. He said, all right, I'll sit at home by the phone waiting for this. And they never called. And he got upset. He went into the studio and created something, which I will play in seconds, and sent it to them. And it eventually actually was what sealed the deal, I believe. Again, if they told that in the interview, I apologize, you're hearing it twice. But this is that audio. This is what he produced and sent to the bigwigs at K-Rock, which ultimately got him the gig.
Guess who didn't call me back? You two guys, that was mean. Now everyone report to the K-Rock, to the K-Rock, to the K-Rock. He said a 10 a.m. report to the K-Rock. Come on, Gene. It's supper time. Hey, Kevin Weatherly and Gene Sandbloom. I kind of hope we all get to talk real soon. I must have missed you Monday morning, waiting for the phone to ring screaming. No worries. Surprised you didn't call me back. I was sitting by the phone. I was eating a snack. You told me to wait for an hour. 5 hours later, I'm standing in the shower. I gotta go to work because I like to work at nighttime. I was gonna tell you that if you would have called me. Good God, guys, toss me a bone. Dreaming that I'm working there while staring at the phone. Now you said to call that one. It'd be fun. Yeah, Gene, that's what you said. Oops, I mean 10. 10, 10, 10. You said to call you then, and I lost it. Cause you hate me. Oh, baby. You hate me. You hate me. Hate me.
Let me bring this up with both of you now that I think about it. In fact, Trevor, start with you. You know, I think there's two ways to look at it. If you do have an actual passion for radio and you want to do it, because if you don't have that, then, you know, stop listening. It's not worth your time because you won't make much money and you're, you know, you'll get two or three divorces or whatever these old guys have had done. Anyway, my point is, you can either get a job and leave where you are. So let's say you're in Los Angeles, get any job in any small town and get started. Or do you start at a minuscule part-time deal, but if you want, but stay in LA? Is it better to go to the small market for the perhaps better job, or stay in the big market for the crap job and work your way up? Thoughts?
That's a good question, because you've seen people like Psycho Mike Catherwood, who's started off basically as what, an intern for Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
Answering the phones, and in a very short amount of time, because he was in the right place at the right time and had an amazing skill set and a quick wit, just a gifted guy, those talents really rose to the surface in a place like that on a show like Kevin and Bean, who can see the talent in people and, you know, use it on their show. And now look where he is. You know, he's on Dancing with the Stars and all the Love Line now and all those things. Mm-hmm. So there are those I've seen stories like that. But then I've also seen, you know, stories like myself, who've been through just about everything, working for free at college radio stations, doing overnight radio shows, and doing every job under the sun, from working in a promotions department at Radio Disney, reading stories to kids, giving them Teddy Grahams and all that stuff. And then you get a real kind of knowledge, a broad knowledge about all these other sort of things. And that's another way to do it, too. I don't think either way is
so
wrong.
You don't think either way works better than another? I mean, you don't think getting your to me, it seems like getting out there, working your way up, getting into those small markets and the medium market, you really earn it, and you also learn so much more than you can learn by being at K-Rock the whole way, you know?
I mean,
or am I wrong?
For myself, I've definitely, I'm so grateful, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. Learning it, and it also lets you appreciate it once you get to a stage where you're like, wow, here's where I am now. But I'm also not going to say that it's wrong to crack into a big market. If you can do it, take that opportunity too and force your way in. And if you're truly talented and you're really passionate about it, I think you could really make anything work. When I started out, I didn't even really know exactly what it is that I wanted to do. I just knew that radio kind of seemed cool. And all the kind of tests that I had up the way kind of showed me that, yeah, maybe I do have a passion for this. Or maybe I still want to play music in a band. I don't know. Then the next test would come, and I would pass that. And so it was an evolutionary process for me. But I think you also have the guys that come into a big market, and, hey, if they got an opportunity and they can start as a phone op or something like that in a big station like this, you know, why not? So many people in this building have been discovered that way. And I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, I really don't.
Mike, disagree. Let's get into a debate. Tell him why he's wrong.
He's not. Well, I can't. He's not wrong at all. Talent is talent, period. You know, and if you are able to get into a big station, go for it. And it, you know, it also kind of depends on what you want to do. If your goal is to become a program director somewhere, maybe it is better to go work at different places all over the country and try smaller markets and actually get to go be a program director in your first or second year of doing radio. Maybe that is the way to do it. But bottom line, like he's talking about Psycho Mike Catherwood, talent is talent. And I mean, even Jimmy Kimmel was, you know, the sports guy on Kevin and Bean a long time ago. So it just kind of depends on what it is. What's your goal? What do you want to do?
Well, Adam Carolla wasn't anywhere else, was he? He was in like construction, and didn't he basically, when he started, he pretty much started there?
He was brought on as like a boxing coach, wasn't he?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel's boxing coach for the Bleeda and Reseda.
Yeah.
Yeah, a morning show bit. Yeah. And yeah, now look where he is. And,
but let me play a little devil's advocate. I mean, you're in L.A. Isn't just the fact that you're in a town with people who are most either there to be a waiter while trying to be an actor, or maybe luckily being an actor while also being a waiter. You know what I'm saying? Like in like Denver, you don't have this mass influx of these people who want to be in entertainment already. So perhaps it's not the same there.
Sure. But I also worked with guys in even Springfield, Missouri, which is market 192 when I worked there in, you know, 96, whatever, who their goal was to be the star in Springfield. They wanted to be the big cheese there, and they were good at it, and they did it, and that's what they wanted.
Yeah, I've worked at places in smaller markets where they'd bring in an intern who was doing job placement, and I've been working in the industry, you know, for 5 years or whatever it was at that point. They'd bring in an intern, and then one day, all of a sudden, they'd make them morning show co-host. You know what I mean? Yeah. Making three times what I was making. And it happens. If these talented people come in, you know, it happens. And I cannot fault them for that. I think it's genius if you can do it, you know? Yeah. And when I got here, within probably 6 months of working here in a major, you know, this size of market with this influential a station, I learned more in that 6 months than probably at any point, you know, through my whole career, you know?
All right. I think then for all the young people out there, we've done absolutely nothing for you. You should either go to a small market or try and stay in the big market you're in. It's 50-50.
I would say just take what, if you're interested in radio and you have an opportunity wherever you live or if there's somewhere you want to be, try and get yourself in that door somehow, some way. And if you get that opportunity, don't take it. Don't take it for granted, even if it's working in a promo department, driving a van or whatever it is you can do for free. Do it and work your way in through that way.
I will say this, the hands-on experience that you can get in a smaller market, the actual...
Oh, it's incredible.
You can get into a studio and start producing stuff. You can probably be a character on a morning show. You could probably do it within days, you know, in a small market. So I think it's easier to get in there and you can start building your tapes and your demos and CDs or MP3s.
Sure.
What are we saying?
That's what I think. Oh, we spent way too much time on that. I should have.
You were just trying to make
sure. I should have just let you guys
fight.
Yeah.
You guys are the professionals. I should have just said, yes, you both are right. Let's move it out. Anyway, we got to talk a little tech stuff. So favorite plugin set? No, just kidding. You guys are both on Pro Tools. Is that true?
False.
No.
Yeah, I know. Tell us what.
Not
us
that we
what
don't have anything
on.
Against Pro Tools. We have Pro Tools machines here. I've worked with Pro Tools before. Mike's worked with Pro Tools before. We have no problem with Pro Tools, but for some reason, I don't know. Mike got me hooked on Audition.
Yeah, and I started using it back when it was Cool Edit Pro, and it was actually Rover who introduced me to it. And you know, I think just the familiarity of it and the speed I could do stuff on it. was really why I stuck with it. And in plenty of markets, I used Pro Tools. In Denver, I used Pro Tools. And, you know, but I always had Adobe Audition at home, and I was able to use it, and I just got good at it. And so I stuck with it. You know, it's one of those things, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No, it makes sense. I know people are going to be excited to hear that. There, for as many Pro Tools, you know, lovers, there are haters of Pro Tools listening. You know, people using Vegas, still people using Saw, people using lots of DAWs. And so there'll be people that are excited to hear that the boys in CBS LA are using Audition.
Yeah, and so we use 1.5. We use the old one, too.
And you're okay. I was going to ask, you're not even on 3.0 or whatever the latest thing is.
And that's sort of the point. I mean, even if you got a reel-to-reel machine and a cart player, make something. Just make it fun. So make it interesting.
It's also a lot along the lines where you'll hear kind of like voiceover talent talking about how they got to have the new Neumann mic for $3,000. And, you know, meanwhile, at the end of the day, if you don't have the, you know, the voiceover talent, then the mic doesn't matter.
That's
it pretty much goes the same
in
production.
True, but we do like nice stuff. I mean, there's no lying that we love our Sennheisers, and you know, yes.
To me, Audition's kind of like become like my comfy favorite sweater. You know, I've spent so much time with it, and whenever I have a question about it, because Mike was so much more knowledgeable, I'd never use it before I came here, and I'd say, "How do you do this?" And he'd show me. Next week, "How do you do this?" And he'd show me. And it's just kind of grown on me. It's like an extension of my arm, and I can kind of create at this point without having to worry too much about how technically to make it happen, which is the whole point. And I don't really want to have to relearn anything, because now I just want to think and dream and come up with ideas and not worry about so much as how to make them happen.
You mentioned the Sennheiser. Do you both have 416s, or do you have multiple mics that you each like to use separately, or?
I think, I prefer that. The 416 is one that, I don't know, just kind of, because it was the first thing in here, and I was like, oh, this is cool, I'm going to get one at home, too, and now it's just kind of a thing.
Yeah, and when I worked here, Will Morgan liked the 416, and so then I got one. I'm like, wow, I really like the way this sounds, too. So it's just been that way. It's just kind of what
you
was
guys,
shown.
You both have home studio setups, both of you separately?
Yeah.
And you both have 416s at home? You both have Audition setups at home? Treated rooms, anything like that?
No, treated rooms. If you mean like junk piled up everywhere and old CDs falling off shelves, then yes.
Yeah, I do all my voicing and stuff, and I also do a syndicated radio show up in Canada, and I do it out of a closet full of clothes, and it's a little tiny walk-in closet, and I just foamed it up with like soundproof acoustic foam or whatever.
Yeah,
and that does the job. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And no, I know people that just drop the mic in the closet with the clothing. That, you know, that's good enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, it totally works. And I'm in like the extra bedroom at my condo, and the wall behind my desk. I bought the cheap foam online, like the cheap egg crate foam.
Oh yeah.
And I just glued it on the wall, and that's that. Yeah. But really, I didn't even need it. Honestly, when I put it up, I'm like, oh yeah, I could tell a difference. But you know what? I couldn't tell a difference, man. It was a way to convince my wife it was all right to spend all that money on foam, but it was unnecessary, really.
what other kind of toys do you have? Any must-have toys? I know. I don't know if this is still true, but as far as plugins go, you pretty much just use what comes with Audition. Is that true?
Yeah. Everything that comes out of the box in Audition is I use that, and then. We both have Logic setups at home, and I think it's safe to say that, I mean, I use my Logic computer on my Mac linked in through my Adobe Audition through like two Mark of the Unicorn sound cards that I use, and I'm constantly bouncing effects back from my Logic because it's got great loops and all these license-free things that you can use and play with, you know.
And I use Logic also for I do the voice and production for the NHRA, the National Hot Rod Association, and so every year I create the music bed for it, and I do that in Logic. And then if I, you know, we did some parody thing with U2 songs, we did like mariachi versions of U2 songs for for a Jack FM thing. And so I did that in Logic and just sat there and hammered it out on the M Audio keyboard that was $99, you know.
Yeah.
I have a Presonus Firebox. I think the new one's called the Fire Studio, PreSonus Firebox. That's what I use with Adobe Audition and the Sennheiser 416. And I also have a Symmetrix mic voice processor, the analog
one. Yeah, is it 5-something? I can't remember their numbers.
Yeah, not the like whatever.
512.
Yeah, the one that's not the digital one, the analog one.
528. Is that what
it is? 528E or something like that.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
An auto-tune is always nice to have.
Yeah.
I saw that in your book. So you guys have obviously had some fun with auto-tune over the days now. I mean, that thing is ubiquitous, right?
Yeah, I think it's also really cool to use just in terms of singing normal stuff. If you're doing just parody songs or whatever, and you don't have to crank it and sound like T-Pain necessarily, but it takes, like, if you're doing something, you could take all night trying to hit these notes and stuff. If you're not a trained singer, such as myself, I have no training whatsoever and can't sing worth shit. So I just use auto-tune on on auto-tune. They have like three different on the $99 version of auto-tune. They have three different presets. You know, one that's just cranked and it sounds like T-Pain. You can go to the extreme other one where you don't even know there's auto-tune, but it's pitch correcting. And I find that helps speed things up a little bit when I do singing.
And let me say, Trevor is a great singer.
No, dude.
He is.
Trevor's got a voice of an angel, Mike.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
but he can hit the notes way better than I can. In fact, I was telling him I need him to sing something for me later tonight for a freelance project I'm doing, and then I'm gonna just sing what he sang and then delete his voice and be like, yeah, I sang that just like that.
Another thing that came to my mind, Trevor, but you know, us Americans basically think of Canadians as just good, you know, happy, peaceful people, always in a good mood, very polite. Have you been just scarred and destroyed by L.A. or even just the U.S. yet, or are you still good?
No, I'm all good, man. I love it here. Seriously, I'm becoming a citizen very, very soon, actually. It's in the process.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much.
He knows more about the Constitution than I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. It's great to hear. You know, I didn't even get into this. I did want to bring up, though, kind of what your day is like. Maybe real quick, give me kind of in a nutshell what your days are like. You know, what time do you get in? How much work are you doing on your station there? Then how much of your side work are you doing and your own independent stuff, you know?
So it kind of all depends. And basically, the great thing, and again, we're so lucky to be in this awesome environment here at CBS that, you know, we have this assignments and things that need to get done, and we've been told, you know, get the work done. And if that means you come in at 10 and you leave at 5, or you come in at noon and you leave at midnight, whatever it takes to get it done, that's kind of how it goes. And then as far as freelance goes, again, it kind of depends. I do freelance production for Boom 97.3 in Toronto. And, you know, I don't get things every single day, but I do get a lot of stuff. And like, tonight's going to be a long night, and I still have Jack FM stuff to finish up. And so it just kind of all depends, you know, but generally I don't get here early in the morning anymore because I have an hour commute and I like to avoid traffic as much as I can.
Oh, real quick. Are you, do you try and do everything there at your CBS studios, or do you really divide it between both home and there?
I know I am very much, working a lot from home these days. And make sure I'm here for meetings and different things like that. So I probably do most of my stuff from home now. My hours are typically from about 12 to 7, going hard on K-Rock stuff, and then break for the family. And I got a little 2-year-old girl, and then play with the daughter, give her a bath, and eat with the family. And then I work from about midnight to 7 a.m.
Midnight to 7 a.m.?
Yeah. So I work 12, really? 12 to 7 in the day, midnight to 7. And then sleep till noon. It's pretty much every day except Saturday.
Yeah. So you get like what, 4 hours of sleep a night?
4 to 5 hours about. That's what I'm going.
Are you? Is it that crazy for you, Mike?
No, I don't have it as crazy as Trevor. I get up in the morning. I spend my time. I have a little boy, and he's 1.5, and I spend my time with him in the morning. So we do breakfast and play and all that. So I roll in here around 11 or so, and then I'm here till the work's done, and generally I can get home by 8 o'clock at night, and then if I have more stuff to do, I'll stay up late and do it. But I'm definitely not every single night like Trevor is. I don't have as much as he does.
And again, we're not talking about just strictly K-Rock and Jack stuff. We're talking about all the stuff that we're kind of involved in.
Well, tell me just a little bit. I know people are going to be curious. What are some of the other things you're doing on the side? There's a lot of voice work, a lot of production. I mean, you mentioned Boom, and then, you know, what are the types of stuff you're doing?
Well, right now I have Boom, and I do all the voice and production for the National Hot Rod Association. And then I got two other things in the works that I don't know if I'm supposed to announce or not.
Oh, no, that's okay. But I mean, generally kind of production gigs or voice gigs type thing?
Production. Voice for NHRA, voice and production. Just production and for Boom. Their Joe Cipriano.
Oh, okay. I know Joe well. Are you doing a lot of, voiceover on its own through some sources, or have you just not had time to do it a lot of that besides what you've just mentioned?
I did this thing for Delta Airlines where I played a DJ for their rock station in the airplanes, and I had to go and cut that. I did that for a little while. I did there used to be this website called artistdirect.com, and I did all their imaging and production and voice stuff for that for different. They had different radio stations on their website, so I did like the pop station, the rock station, all that stuff. I've done Epitaph Records TV spots. I did a NASCAR commercial where the whole thing was cut, and I went into the studio, and I just had to do the voice of the actor. Like, the actor had already done the acting, but I had to do the voiceover.
I guess that's looping.
Yeah, I did that. So there's been, you know, things like that off and on.
I guess, how are you getting these jobs? You know, people are always curious, you know, I mean, do you have agents? Is it only agents? Are you getting this stuff on your own?
Well, I don't have an agent. This is Mike talking. I don't have an agent. Most of it is just word of mouth. People I know, people who know me from this or that, you know, there's been an occasional out of the blue email where someone just tracks my email down and goes, "Hey, we hear you're the guy that works at Jack." And I have to clarify, I'm not the voice. And, you know, but there's been that kind of stuff too.
And Trevor, what's all this stuff you're doing between midnight and 7 a.m., man?
It's getting pretty crazy. Yeah, it's cool. I've been doing lots and lots of voice work for stations all across Canada because it was, you know, the country that I came from. So a lot of friends of mine who kind of were in the trenches with me when I was kind of, you know, coming up over there, people who would end up being swing DJs and all these other things now are morning show jocks and, you know, drive DJs and PDs even. So a lot of those connections sort of kind of came through for me and said, "Hey, man, are you still doing the crazy stuff you used to do? Why don't you do it for my station?" And kind of stuff like that. So I'm kind of working exclusively with a company up there called Rogers. So I'm voicing a lot of their stations and just kind of being a on call for anything that they need. And I'm also doing a TV network up there, OLN, and I got my own syndicated radio show, which started about 3 weeks ago, which is called Hitstorm, and there's a website, hitstormcountdown.com, and it's just like a top 22 show that I engineer, write, voice, and produce every week.
Do you host it, or are you the imaging voice, or
everything?
Is that not...
Yeah, well, I actually went out and seeked the imaging voices that I use on it, so I'm doing all the imaging.
Okay,
I got Corey Burton, who's a voice that we've used at K-Rock, who's like a Disney voice, like so awesome, and this girl Wendy K. Gray, who's this very cool female voice. She's kind of got that like VH1 kind of read, so I got her on that stuff. And then I have all the songs, and how I build a countdown is I build it like it's almost like a 2-hour-long promo. So it's really kind of fun. It's made my brain just kind of explode and think about things in totally crazy different ways. So that's been taking up a lot of time now, too. And I do parody songs and fun stuff for them.
Nice.
That's about it. So it's been amazing. I can do music stuff on the side, too.
Well, right on, guys. You know what? I think I mentioned about 15 minutes ago that I took too much of your time. So... Now, I think I've officially taken too much of your time. I really appreciate it. Definitely going to have to check back in again sometime in the future. Thanks a lot, guys. This has been great.
Thanks for the opportunity, man. Like I said, we listen to this podcast a lot, and it's an honor to be on it.
Yeah, it means a lot to us that we get to be on this with you. It's really cool.
Yeah, well, it's definitely you are in equal company of everybody I've had on. I'm going to have links, you know, what with the podcast and the web, I feel, you know, it's not like old school radio or I got to constantly be doing the plugs, but Brain Dead Creative Help. I've read it cover to cover. I loved it. And I didn't want to say this at the beginning. I don't want it to sound negative, but you know, it's a quick read. It's an easy read. It's not.
It's about third grade level.
We have very short attention spans.
It was purposely done that way because you know
exactly. It's obvious that you did, and you mentioned before it's more of a handbook, and that's exactly what I was thinking when I was reading it. You know, I haven't read anything else like this. So it's definitely a must-have, but I'll have links on the website, show notes page. You're going to have more extended audio from you guys up there. I don't know. Any parting words for the masses that will be tuning into this episode?
I probably have a quote.
Well done, guys.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, let me think of the quote real quick. I would say this. I would say... if you're lucky enough to be in a creative position, don't close yourself off to other people. Brainstorm, rally, get lots of people invested. Even people that you wouldn't expect may have the greatest idea for something for you.
I got a quote. I got to find it because it's fucking awesome. It was in one of those engraving stores.
Oh. Okay. Like a Successories?
Yeah, like in the mall or whatever. And it's Emerson, and it's okay, let me see if I can read it because it's an actual picture of this engraved thing. Do not go where the path may lead, go instead where there is no path and leave a trail.
Yeah,
nice. I like that.
Yeah, I love it.
Those are great parting words. Mike Crank, Trevor Shan, CBS LA, gentlemen, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
It, brother.
96.5 The Peak wants to take you power rafting. Now this is what it's like when rafts collide. You ready to row? Cause I'm ready to row. Watch out for the rocks, baby, baby. It's a power rafting weekend on The Peak, featuring cuts from the new Power Man 5000 CD. Tonight, the stars revolt. And we're giving away copies before it hits the stores. Tonight, the stars revolt. When you hear the power rafting theme song. Now this is what it's like when rafts collide! You ready to row? Be caller 9 at 892-0965 to win the new Power Man 5000 CD, along with a Power Man t-shirt and trading cards. You'll also get two passes to go power rafting on the Royal Gorge with The Peak and Raven Adventures next Sunday, July 25th. For more information, call 1-800-332-3381. Feel the power. This weekend, only on 96.5 The Peak.
There it is. Round out the interview there with from The Peak. That's Mike Crank work. The Peak in Denver. I'm guessing circa 1998-99. In fact, he might have dated that for me. No. Did it have a date in the promo? Can't remember. Anyway, 98-99, The Peak, Denver. And that's, you know, I remember hearing that on the air. Listening to him do that stuff there made me want to do, you know, this whole radio imaging stuff. And I'm sure he's influenced a few other guys, and they will continue to do that at CBS Los Angeles. BraindeadCreative.com, that's the website. Brain Dead Creative Help is the name of the book. I highly recommend it. Because many reasons. It's a great outlook on radio creative. If you are a creative person, it will spark things in you. I guarantee that. It's not a difficult read, you know, which is a compliment. That is not a negative thing. It's easy to cruise through. It also acts like a handbook, which is very nice that you can jump from chapter to chapter. If you want, you can come back to it weeks or months later and, you know, reread. Maybe you got issues with your morning show. You want to reread the section on the morning show. And then the stuff that Trevor's written, the articles that he's written for Up in Canada that they put at the end of the book, though I've actually still saved a few of those. I haven't read all of them yet because I wanted to, have some good stuff to pique my interest and spark my creative in the future. But those are interesting, just standalone little one or two page pieces you should check out as well. Anyway, all the links, show notes page, ryanontheradio.com. If you have anything to contribute to the show, I'd love to hear it. I always get plenty of nice compliments. I always appreciate that. But of course, if you ever have anything that would help me make this better, love to hear it as well. Absolutely. If you want to get updated on this via email, there's a contact form on my website. You can just throw one at ryandreen@gmail, ryan@ryanontheradio. Different emails you can use or the contact form. You can also get updated on Facebook, facebook.com/prodpod, P-R-O-D-P-O-D. If you want to like that, I guess. And then you'll get the updates that way. Sorry, I just saw something on television. Maybe I shouldn't watch TV while I do this. Okay, that's it. Coming up next, you know, I have actually no one specifically locked in for next yet. I have a few names in mind that I've been talking to. So in about 3 to 4 weeks from now, we'll get another episode posted with one of the stellar talents of the radio world. But for now, thank you so much for checking this out. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.